You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have reached the final hour, and what an afternoon it has been at the beach. Our two favorite days of the year, hardly working, but some great guests that will be dropping by, including Billy Napier, getting ready for his second year as the head coach at the University of Florida. Coach, it's a pleasure to see you again, and you look more relaxed than I think I saw you the last time after as the season was ending. How do you feel?
Yeah, Paul, always humbling to be on your show.
Thank you.
And a ton of respect for what you do for college football, man.
Well, thank you. That means a great deal. Just in terms of meetings today, this is your second go-around, so and you know you knew a lot of these people and worked for some of them, so I doubt the first time you walked in it was that earth-shattering, but what is it like to be with your colleagues to talk about the issues of the day?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting time to be a part of college football. You know, we got a lot on our plate, and certainly a ton of variables, right? A ton of issues, and I think we're working through some of those. So today was informative, and certainly, you know, we're collaborating and working as a team here to try to come up with some ideas that can help advance the game and make the game better.
Every coach looks at the big picture with similar thoughts, but probably with varying views. What do you see right now as, you know, overall, and we'll get to Gainesville in a moment, but as the biggest challenge that the sport faces?
Well, I think the combination of NIL and portal paired with the pace and lifestyle in recruiting. You know, I think that there's frustration in the profession, you know, to some degree about the things that we're dealing with from a competitive standpoint, right? We've got issues when it comes to NIL relative to employee law, antitrust law, differences in state law, right? And I think that when you pair the NIL issues that we have with the transfer portal, I don't know that I think there's a ton of frustration that comes from that, you know, given where we've come from, right? I think we all know this game at its best, and I think what's going on right now is there's some good that's come from it, but I think there's a lot of unintended consequences.
And you have to navigate on the fly because there's so many aspects of it. You hear coaches talk about the money and all the things that happen, but whether you like it or not, you have to deal with it. Is that a big part of what you do and what all coaches do?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's about keeping perspective, right? Going back to purpose. Why did you get into coaching? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you enjoy about coaching, right? And that's the relationship with the players, the people aspect. We love the competition. We love the strategy. But ultimately got into the game to impact young people and to be a part of a team, right? I can't remember the last time I wasn't a part of a team. So NIL is another variable, right? It's part of your experience for the player, right? And I think University of Florida, we spent the last 10 months or so working hard on that strategy, you know, that part of our system. We've completely rebuilt the player experience at Florida, and we're in a lot better place, right? So, you know, wake up each day, remember what your purpose is, try to keep perspective and what the game of football can be about, what it should be about, and ultimately I think we're doing that.
Speaking of the University of Florida, I mean, we think of it in terms of the bluest of the blue chips, but until recently, you know, many would argue that was not really accurate because of right. The internals. That I believe that has now been resolved. I mean, it took a long time. Does it feel different now that the facilities are in the, I mean, there's never an end of facility, but the big part of it has been done.
Yeah, there's no question. It's one of the reasons we felt great about the job. The timing is a big deal in these decisions about jobs. And I think the investment the University of Florida has shown from a facility standpoint, but also from an infrastructure standpoint, the agreement that we made there to modernize the approach, to come in and evaluate the entire process and get it up to speed. I think that's what we've done over the last year. So, you know, I'm confident in what we do. I'm up for the challenge. We're up for the challenge, and we look forward to it.
You had tremendous success in Louisiana, and you were a very coveted coach. You, I don't know how many times, but based on what I read, you turned down a lot of jobs. What were you waiting for, and do you feel like you found it?
Yeah, no, I would tell you that there was a number of years there at Louisiana where I didn't feel like the job was finished to some degree. We had won the division multiple times, lost in the conference championship game. The third year the conference championship game was taken away for COVID. I think there's a little bit of a faith element, too, relative to the stories that were being told and being a lot of young people that we had worked with, right? Those are hard decisions, man. A lot of thought and prayer going to those decisions. And I think ultimately we landed in the right place, in a great place. And I think we finished the job. We won the conference championship game. We finished in the top 25 2 years in a row. We had one of the better group of five programs in the country, right? That was the goal in the beginning. And ultimately, ready for a new challenge and a bigger platform, and really excited about what we're doing at the University of Florida.
We're talking to Billy Napier, the head coach at Florida. Scott Strickland was here about an hour ago, the man who hired you as the athletic director, and he was emphatic on what you have brought to this program and how it will take some time. And he also added, as many coaches do, that fans don't want to be patient. He said you are what your record is. I mean, there are a lot of things that he said that make perfect sense, unless you're a fan who sees the past and wants it right now. How do you talk to fans like that, and or do you even bother? Because
I've got no excuses. I mean, we are maybe what perception is out there. We earn that perception to some degree, right? So there's lots of things that we can do better. I think it's part of the story, right? It's part of the growth. I mean, there's no question there were parts of our team that were really good and there were parts of our team that were really bad, right? But in today's dynamic, man, there's a huge number of variables that contribute to your team. You know, I can tell you that we have improved our process year one to year two. We're in a lot better place currently. And again, you know, I think the message is, you know, we're up for the challenge and we look forward to the opportunities that come with it.
What is success now at Florida?
Well, I think success is, you know, history would say that success at the University of Florida is winning the national championship. It's winning the SEC championship. It's been done before. You know, we know that it's been 15 years, right? We won the Eastern Division three times in the last 15 years, right? So part of taking the job was doing a ton of research about, you know, why hasn't Florida been able to get over that hump and be competitive? I think we knew that coming in, and the plan was to address all those things, right, and to put the program as a whole in position to compete again, right? And that's going to take time to build systems, to create habits, to establish process, and we're right in the middle of that process. It's a lot of fun.
Finally, Coach, do you feel comfortable that you have the time, because the record was difficult, the schedule is suffocating, and sometimes teams are better, programs are better than what the record shows?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you back up and look at things objectively, we lost five really close games. We inherited some good and some bad. But I do think that we're in position to improve. I think there's a compound effect from year one to year two that, you know, most coaches benefit from. I think we're in position to do that. So, you know, it's why you get into the profession, right? It's to take on these challenges. But I'm excited about the players that I see. You know, our players got back to work yesterday. Had an opportunity to watch them work this morning before coming down here. And I like our football team. And we've done a lot of work since January. And really the only people that know about that work are our players and our staff. And we're about halfway through the offseason. And we look forward to this summer.
We just put your schedule on the screen. I got sick, and I'm not the head coach. But anyway, that's what they brought you here for. And, Coach, we wish you all the best. We hope next time we see you, things will be going well. And it's always really nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Billy Napier, the head coach at the University of Florida, joining us. We are going to take a short break. We're not done yet. We still have 45 minutes, and including a couple more SEC head coaches, as we're back to the beach after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here, and what an action-packed final hour. Kirby Smart joining us shortly. We'll talk to Brian Kelly. Right now, we have Hunter Yurecek, recently named the top athletic director in the country, and Sam Pittman, who I'm predicting will be the SEC Coach of the Year this year. Good to see both of you.
I'd like to be. Good to see you, buddy.
It was great to have you. Coach Pittman, you've been here a couple of years now as a head coach. You still seem like, you know, you're one of these kids at the beach, so you're looking for autographs.
I am. I walked into the staff in there and saw all the nameplates. I about took a picture. Nobody else was in there. I about took a picture. You know? But, you know, I sat right next to Coach Saban, and to be perfectly honest with you, it's a thrill every year that we come down here.
Well, and he reciprocates that. Don't beat him, though. He will move you out.
Well, we're trying.
You'll be down in the riptides. Hunter Yurecek, it's great to see you. And I rarely tell personal tales here, but I was in the workout room with Coach Musselman today. That guy is. I know what a great coach he is, but man, he can work out too.
He gets after it. Sure, he had a leadership article or two that he was reading through while he was in there working out.
Well, you missed me because I was a little earlier.
I know I did. And Musk said to me, he said, "Yeah, you know, for a guy your age, you work pretty well, work out pretty well." I said, well, I wouldn't want to play for him. But let's talk about the year at Arkansas. So many successes. Baseball is yet to be determined, but I know everyone is extremely hopeful. How do you feel things have gone?
It's been another banner year for our athletic program. Started with our football team going to their second consecutive bowl game and winning that exciting Liberty Bowl. Our soccer team went to the Elite Eight. Our volleyball team went to their first NCAA tournament in about a decade. And then, our men's basketball run to the Sweet 16 for a third consecutive year. And then our baseball and softball, men's and women's golf programs have picked up in the spring. And it's hard to leave out our track program, who won two men's and women's indoor national championships and ranked first and third in the country as we head into the outdoor championships next week.
I will tell you, Hunter, one of the greatest shots, you think when you do this as long as I have, you know a lot about the SEC. I've only been covering it since Coach Bryant. But we were, I think it was in Bud Walton one day, and I was walking through there, and my jaw dropped when I saw all the track and field and the cross-country national championships. I mean, I lost count.
Yeah, the University of Arkansas has won 49 track and field and cross-country national championships between their men's and women's programs, indoor, outdoor, and cross-country. It's phenomenal. We hope to raise number 50 here next week.
You know how tough it is to win anything, to let alone to crank out that many.
Incredible. They're incredible. I mean, their athletes are, coaches are. They're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, they're premier athletes now out there. And somebody, I forget his name, jumped like 5 foot in the triple jump.
Well, one by
jump.
5 feet, yes.
One by 5 foot. I mean, that's against premier athletes. It's unbelievable.
There used to be a time the football coaches would hang around trying to grab one of those guys to be a wide receiver.
Oh, we've been over there. Me and Buck and I talk a lot about that
stuff. You've got one on your team, I
think. Yeah, we do. We got one.
That is amazing. Talking to Coach Pittman and Hunter Juracek, Coach, the controversy so far, there may be another one, but so far has been about the schedule. Inside those meetings, coaches, what do they say about that part of the schedule?
Not a lot. I think the thing that really made it easy for all of us, whether it be 8 or 9, I'm not speaking for everybody, but for me, was that our kids that come and they stay for 4 years, they're going to get to play in every stadium in the SEC. Right. And every team's going to get to come in and play in Razorback Stadium. And I think for our fans, that's going to be really cool too. So 8 or 9, I think either way, they've got in the they've got it kind of figured out, I think.
Either way.
I think so. And you know, you have to ask the athletic directors about what they'd want to do with the 4 versus 3. But you know, another thing, you go to 9, that gives you, you know, eight more losses inside the conference as well. It's not broke right now. You know, I don't know what they're going to do, but we're taking teams to the national championship, and with 8, it's not broke. If they decide to go to 9, we'll do that as well.
Yeah, whether anybody likes it or not, it's been a pretty successful formula so far.
It has for our conference.
It has. You look at our domination of the CFP and advancing 1 and/or 2 teams most years, having the national champion most years, the 8-game formula has worked. And so if that's what we decide and move forward with, it's going to be what's best for the Southeastern Conference.
What's best for a school like Arkansas in terms of scheduling? Because that extra conference game, it's going to be a good game. It could be a phenomenal game.
Sure. I think, you know, what's favorable for the University of Arkansas is going from the SEC West to a single division, where you have the opportunity to have a more balanced schedule and an opportunity, as Coach said, for each team to come into your stadium once in a 4-year period and for you to visit each stadium. And we've been in the SEC West, and Coach has done a phenomenal job. I believe your record, you've beat every team in the West but one.
Yeah,
that school down there in
Alabama.
Tuscaloosa, in the SEC West. So he's done a great job of navigating that. But I think a more balanced schedule is what's best for the University of Arkansas. And whether it's 8 or 9 games, Coach and I will figure out what that, you know, what it looks like after that.
Coach, Coach Napier was here a minute ago talking about NIL and the portal, which everybody talks about.
Yeah.
I don't know who's solving it, but I know everybody's talking about it. How have you dealing with this?
You know, I feel comfortable that Mr. Sankey is working hard trying to get solutions. You know, I think that's what we need. The transfer portal, I personally believe that it's open too long. I think it needs to close down. I think kids who go on the transfer portal, they know they're going to transfer way faster than 45 days. And And NIL, I think it's a really good thing. I think maybe we messed it up a little bit in our recruiting. But I think it's good to guys to, if somebody knows their name, image, and likeness, I feel like they deserve to share in some type of money, be compensated. So we just got to come in. It just went so fast and got out of hand, to be perfectly honest with you, I think a little bit. We got to reel it back in somewhat.
Well, here, everyone's talking to Congress and everybody's talking to state legislatures, and let us know when it's solved.
Yes, please
sooner than later, by the way.
Hunter Yurachek, one of the truly most influential athletic directors in the country, and Sam Pittman, one of our favorite coaches and soon to be the SEC Coach of the Year, the first prediction of the year.
I like that.
If you see Del Conte, the Texas, he's been chasing me down for 2 years trying to get that money from the smashed helmet.
From the helmet? I love that. Yeah. So did the entire state of Arkansas, by the way.
They did for sure. I told Paul, I said, if you smash another helmet, I'll pay for it. Yeah.
So far, I told one of my bosses that today, who used to be over the Longhorn Network. She goes, they're asking us to pay? But anyway, I probably just got fired after speaking at a school there, but who cares? You guys can let me manage across country.
Do whatever you want.
Guys, it's great to see you. Hunter Yurachek and Sam Pittman.
Good
it's always a great pleasure to see
great.
Both
Thank
of you.
Thank you for having us on,
Thank
Paul.
You.
Thank
always
you for
a lot
coming
of fun.
By. We'll take a short break. A couple more luminaries will join us in a few minutes. Head coach at LSU is expected in the final hour, as well as Kirby Smart.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we continue here at the beach, final 30 minutes of the program, we want to say hello to Kirby Smart, the head coach at the University of Georgia. We saw him a couple weeks ago, and so we won't put the pressure on you about a three-peat. That will be enough. There'll be enough questions about that coming up. But I do want to talk to you about something that we haven't spent a lot of time on today, with all this, as you said, the over conversation on 8 versus 9 is the NIL situation, and it's a little different than I think some people have thought. Most people say, "Well, Congress will take care of it," but that's not exactly where we are, is it?
No, it's not. I would love for Congress to get involved, and I think that any impact that leadership can have on Congress to make this a better situation, or at least some guidelines, would help us. I certainly feel like Congress could have an impact on that, and I just love college athletics across the board. And when you start talking about some of the ramifications that are coming down the line, it's going to impact Olympic sports, non-revenue sports, and I love all sports of college. And I don't think it's going to destroy college football. It may destroy 10 other sports in the process, but right now we're in a crossroads, and we've got states doing kind of their own thing, and states going out and passing laws, and college athletics was meant to be balanced. That's what makes it so great. And when individual states start going out and do things that impact the game, it's going to be interesting to see if it's a level playing field.
So I believe there's at least 3 states within the SEC footprint that have either passed legislation or are on the verge of it. How does that complicate matters for you from a recruiting standpoint, or any aspect of that standpoint?
Well, it really complicates it, because you've got you're going to those states yourself to recruit.
Right.
And inherently, it's I've heard the analogy used that the railroad tracks would be different size in those states than they are in yours, and they're meant to be even. You know, you're supposed to go from state to state and be able to go recruit kids, and there's some inherent, I guess, want out of those states to keep their kids in state and allow them to get revenue as high school athletes maybe, or you know, not have to have the same rules as some of the teams have with their collectives and be able to communicate with them. I just like a fair playing ground. I like for everybody to be balanced, you know, and not have to go and try to manipulate the rules and your laws in your state to give you a better chance of signing a football player. I don't think that's fair to kids. I think they should be able to go where they want to go.
And do you, I hate to put you in the position of a political analyst, but do you think we'll start seeing people in various states start then pressuring their own states to try to keep up? Because I mean, if one state is doing it, then the other one's not going to sit back and go, I'm not going to let Florida get ahead of Georgia or South Carolina or wherever.
So it's certainly a possibility. I would hate for that to be the case. I think, you know, the SEC leadership we have is really good, right? We have people in positions in the SEC to put rules in place and lead and govern these however many states we cover. I don't know what it is, but we got 16 teams coming in.
Right.
Let's all play on a level playing field and not have to go state to state to try to gain that competitive advantage. Or let's get the federal government involved and have them help us put some parameters around this thing that we can all live by, and it's sustainable and it benefits the student athlete in the long term. It'd be much better for them to you know, have a steady income and not be competing with other teams just based on a value.
Talking to Kirby Smart, and certainly you see things that we can't see, and somebody at home right now is watching and going, well, I mean, you just won two national championships and all the recruiting standings put you at the top. Could you enlighten us, if you could, just on how nuanced these things are that are causing issues? Because clearly they are.
Well, it's tough because we all recruited at a high level in the SEC, and June is a big month for kids to go on official visits. And when all that starts, you're getting into a lot of issues, and it's gray. It's hard to navigate. You know, what conversations are you allowed to have? You got to tread very lightly on the kids that all they're looking for is NIL. You want to find kids that want to be in your program for the right reason. They usually have less of a portal risk or a transfer risk if they're coming for the right reason, which is to develop and become a good football player. So we try to do all that research throughout our search of players and finding the right kids. But that window is smaller and smaller. You've got June, July is then dead, and then here comes the season, and then signing dates right after that. So it's an interesting time in college athletics.
I mean, you obviously have spent a lot of time evaluating as an assistant at the highest level with four national championships at Alabama, and now with two at Georgia. But in today's world, Coach Smart, can you afford to turn down that can't-miss player because he may just have his hand out for the money as opposed to wanting to be in your uniform?
I don't know if there is a can't-miss player anymore. I mean,
okay. We
like to think that there is. We certainly value them that way. We watch them, we recruit them, and they get labeled as can't-miss. But so much of being a success is what's between your ears.
Okay.
And if you label them a can't-miss, there's a chance they miss because they start believing that. And I certainly think it's put a premium on players that don't require all the NIL, meaning a kid that says, I want to come to your university because I want to win a championship. I mean, there's a value in that. I want to come because I can get a great education. You're going to help develop me into an NFL player, not just because of the NIL. The NIL is a great thing. It's giving kids an opportunity to put some money away and get financial advice, but it's not good when it's why they're choosing where they go to school.
2 years ago, we were collectively, meaning in the media, not coaches, we were all concerned, well, what's going to happen now? These guys are making whatever they're making. You've seen some of the top players in the country come through your program. Are they different now that they're doing a little bit better? Some doing a lot better. Are they the same players to coach?
I would love to give that another 2 years and answer that question, because I feel like we kind of have 2 years worth of players in our program that are that way. And I don't know if the success we had in the 2021 one season. Okay, those kids had all worked really hard without NIL. The Jordan Davises and Kobe Deans, the James Cook. They came without that, and they worked and achieved, and they got better. I don't know if we're going to see that same growth, that hunger, because some of these kids are coming into a situation where they kind of think they already have made it.
Right.
And they're going to get passed by somebody that might be hungrier than them. So I don't know. I know that some of them are managing their money much better and getting good education on it. There's been some inherent problems as well with they have a luxury of being having access to probably more money than they're used to at a young age. So we have to do a good job as coaches of educating them on what to do with that.
You are, I say this as a compliment, a relentless coach in terms of your passion. I mean, I've seen you, I had the opportunity to see you, it was a spring game, but I was in shock when I heard you talk at halftime. I mean, I just wanted to say, coach, this is spring game combat. But that's who you are. That's what's made you one of the top assistants and now one of the preeminent, if not the preeminent, head football coach in the country. But when you're coaching a young person and you have to think maybe if I treat him one millimeter over this line, he may just say, I'm out of here. Can you think about that? Or do you just coach the same way?
Oh, I try to coach the same way because I think there's too many other players on your team that'll spot that and see it. And they'll say, wait, he's creating a different culture for him because of whether it's his NIL or his risk of jumping in the portal or he'll just leave. I'm kind of okay if they don't buy into it and the culture and the environment we create. It's like, okay, well, if they don't want to be here, I'd rather them go ahead and leave. So I can't sleep at night thinking that it's not, you know, it's probably curtailed some of the demands we put on them and things like that, but it's not going to change how we coach them day to day.
Great to see you, as always, Kirby always. Smart. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys.
We'll take a short break. We are not done yet. One more guest will be dropping by. The head coach at LSU, Brian Kelly, will join us. We're back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back for the final segment of what has been an absolutely entertaining day on a gorgeous afternoon at Miramar Beach, Florida. Brian Kelly joins us. A year ago, we were saying hello to you for the first time, and you passed the first test fairly well.
Yeah, we hung in there. Yeah, we found our way to the finish line. We had a couple of bumps along the way, but it was a good first year.
You created so many expectations. We had Scott Rabelais from the Baton Rouge Paper on. So I think right now the conversation's about has LSU moved into the driver's seat. Those are things I know you love to hear as a coach.
I knew I came down here with high expectations. So look, you know, this is the SEC. Yeah. So you're not coming down here with, you know, the opportunity to hide. There's no hiding down here. So it's what I expected. You know, we still have some work to do, quite frankly. I mean, you know, Georgia, Alabama have been, you know, the staples here, and we've got some work to do, but we're up for the challenge.
Yeah. Well, your fans are ready for that work to be done.
No,
we're chatting about a number of things. You've been in meetings all day. I know coaches right outside one of the prettiest beaches in America love to sit in meetings, but was anything accomplished today?
I think so. Look, as you know, the hot button topics are certainly name, image, and likeness, transfer portal, scheduling, to name a few, gambling. I think all of those have probably touched your desk in terms of the topics that you've talked to your guests about, and certainly everybody that follows your show. And we have to address them as well. And they're not easily handled in a meeting, but we have to address them.
I think I know the answer, because when you took this job, you wanted to, you said, I want to play the best.
Yeah.
So you play the best by playing as many games in the SEC as you can. So do you think this 8-9 conversation is critical right now? Will it be resolved, and how?
I think it'll be resolved. I think that there is a desire when you have all the parties here. You know, they recognize that there's an urgency to get something done. So I think by the end of the week, with the presidents here, the athletic directors here, coaches, obviously, you know, our commissioners is wanting to get something done. I think you'll see something done by the end of the week.
Yeah, you made a really good point there, because it's one thing to pontificate. It's another thing to look around the room, in that room, because at Notre Dame, I think one year you had the ACC connection, but
yep,
your spring meetings were... There were no spring meetings.
There were none. You know, I got a chance to sit on the sideline in many of those, and we weren't part of it. And when you come down here, and look, it could be a dog and pony show if you wanted, but you get a sense when we came down here, actionable items needed to be addressed.
Right.
And I got that sense from, you know, again, from our commissioner and from everybody in the room that we need to move on some items, and we got that sense today.
You knew some of the coaches, obviously, having spent a lifetime in coaching, but you guys are not often in a room together, maybe once in the winter. They're big personalities,
yeah.
Maybe big egos. I don't know.
Probably both.
But when you're in there with 13 other coaches, what is it? Does it help from a collegiality standpoint? Does it affect things? What happens?
Well, I think there's a respect, you know, for everybody's position in terms of where we are. And I think for the most part, there's like-mindedness in terms of the things that we have to get done. And we don't have all day to sit there and pontificate and talk about our own personal opinions as much as we got to get some things done. So I think guys put those kind of thoughts aside and find out how we can get to a quick consensus on, as you know, probably some of the most explosive things that we've had in college football in some time. So I think that gets done.
Kirby Smart was here a second ago, and he mentioned the there's a new twist, these state laws, these state legislatures that have passed, NIL legislation that are really making it difficult. Everyone says the same thing about Congress. I mean, you have a great background in politics. I know you're not expecting them to do anything.
Well, look, I think what's happened here is unintended consequences, right? Everybody saw NIL and felt like if I don't act in my own state, I could be left behind. And so we had legislation in different states that really, you know, put everybody in a position within this footprint of the SEC at a different advantage point. And that's not what the SEC needs nor wants. And so how do you bring everybody back together? Well, you need Congress for that. And so I think that's the next step, is how do we get that? And I think you got to go individually to your own, you know, congressional legislative team and really talk about where, if we want national competition and we want to be, you know, the preeminent conference, we've got to get this thing, we got to put the genie back into the bottle.
Yeah, I think what I've heard from you, and we may have solved the problem. I think we've been sending the wrong people. We've been sending administrators. I mean, Brian Kelly goes to the Louisiana delegation. They're all going to show up for the picture, at least.
As long as there's crawfish and we can talk some LSU football, I know we'll be able to get some work done. But, you know, Paul, it's a great point, because they need to see or hear the perspective that we're dealing
right.
with on a day-to-day basis. And I think if we can give them that perspective and maybe what we offer our players as well and what we do for them on a day-to-day basis, I think it would give them the right perspective.
A couple of minutes remaining as you look toward the season, and I know you are. expectations high, understandable, but how do you feel about where this program is in terms of, you mentioned the Alabama-Georgia gap. How do you close that?
Player development. Look, anytime you have to take multiple players through the transfer portal, that's a bit of a red flag. And we probably took too many. And I think we're probably another year of recruiting and player development to have that consistency and depth that we need. But we're going to have a good football team. We're going to have to play smart. And, you know, all the adages that you've heard from many coaches who have sat next to you talk about, we're going to have to stay injury free. But we've got a quarterback that is developed, and we've got probably the confidence now that we can go into games and believe that we can win. Those are really good things to have when you go into a conference like the SEC.
And going back to the beginning of last season, with just a couple of seconds left, I mean, I don't need to remind you of that first game. That was not a confident team.
Not at all. That was, the Bad News Bears. But it's not where you start, it's where you finish, and they developed.
Right.
And they knew they developed by the way they played at the end of the season. So you build off of how you finish. And now they have some confidence in the way they practiced in the spring and how they feel about themselves now is what you build off. Now we've got another team, obviously, in Florida State that feels the same way. And so it'll be a great matchup against Florida State.
We so much appreciate your time. Enjoy the conversations always. And we wish you well.
Thanks,
hope to see you soon.
I'll be back.
I can't wait.
Thanks.
We are done. What an afternoon. And what a finish we have had here with so many great football coaches, ending with Kirby Smart and Brian Kelly, the two division winners and the combatants in last year's SEC championship. We'll do it again tomorrow. The commissioner will join us, giving us the lay of the land, as well as a few more of Coach Kelly's colleagues. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.